In the years after World War I, New York's Harlem became the epicenter for African-American artists, writers, and intellectuals. Through their work, the Black experience was showcased. This cultural movement eventually became known as the Harlem Renaissance. For the first time, the works, stories, and voices of those behind the Harlem Renaissance have been compiled in the book with a companion CD called Harlem Speaks, A Living History of the Harlem Renaissance. I spoke with the editor, Carrie Wentz, a professor of history at Texas Southern University. Let's begin with this. Talk about why you put this together and talk also about the layout of Harlem Speaks and the companion CD, how the book actually was physically put together.
First of all, we wanted to create a book for the general reader, a very well-informed book, but one that was accessible to the general reader. Secondly, we wanted to take a biographical approach. Well, we have a couple of introductory chapters, and then we have a biography on 21 figures who covered the whole spectrum, literature, art, visual arts, music, theater, and politics. Finally, the sound, and this was something that was, for me, totally unique. To find from the early part of the 20th century sound of people speaking, people reading poetry. The music is fairly simple, but the other materials are much more difficult to find. But we felt that by being able to hear Langston Hughes read a poem or Marcus Garvey give a speech, you would get a much deeper understanding of the people that are involved and make up this book.
Let me throw out some names to you of people who have been popularly identified with the Harlem Renaissance and talk about their role in terms of what is included in your book. People like W.E.B. Du Bois, for one.
Du Bois had many hats. He himself was a poet and a novelist. But most of all, he was a political leader committed to righting the racial wrongs in society. He was, during this period, the editor of the Crisis magazine for the NAACP and an officer of the NAACP.
Well, the magazine was founded in November 1910, and I think I made the people of the United States, and especially the colored people, realize just what the Negro problem was and what they had got to do to solve it. I was pretty radical in some things I said. I made a good many enemies.
He was not at all happy with some of the music and literary expressions of the Renaissance because he was much more concerned with the image of African Americans than with literary expression.
Talking about music, U.B. Blake.
U.B. Blake, an amazing person, a vaudeville performer who had the audacity to think that he, with Cecil Noble and a couple of other vaudeville exes, that they could take a African-American production to Broadway. Everybody laughed at him, but in 1921, Shuffle Along opened up on Broadway, the first time that a black-owned, black-produced, black-acted show was a mainstream hit on Broadway.
There are also a number of women who were associated with the Harlem Renaissance across the literary as well as musical genres, people like Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey and Josephine Baker. What about their contributions to the Harlem Renaissance?
One of the people we did not put in the book, and we did have to unfortunately leave people out, my publishers think it's long enough as it is, was Jessie Fawcett. Wrote 5 novels during the Harlem Renaissance. But more importantly than that, she was the literary editor of the Crisis when the Harlem Renaissance began. She was the one who took young writers and got them published. Zora Neale Hurston, of course, everybody knows her, wrote, acclaimed short stories during the 1920s. And in the 1930s, what most people don't know, she was also a graduate-trained folklorist and wrote some of books on folklore of African Americans in the American South and in the Caribbean that are only sort of being rediscovered and popularized today.
Uncle Bud is not a wake song. It's a sort of social song for amusement, And it's so widely distributed, it's growing all the time by incremental repetition. It's one of those juke songs. And the woman that they sing Uncle Bud in front of is a juke woman.
And then she wrote her great novels, such as Their Eyes Were Watching God, in the second half of the 1930s. This is ultimately the most highly acclaimed person to come out of that period.
What was it that you discovered through your research regarding the Harlem Renaissance that perhaps caught you by surprise or that you just didn't know before?
When I first started studying it, I knew nothing about it, and that was 30-something years ago. But this time around, I broadened my own horizons and got to get a deeper understanding of the degree to which the various art forms interacted. And it was, to me, what is surprising is how vibrant the creative energies were at this period. This is 50 years after the end of slavery. And it's not just a few writers or a few songwriters or performers, but this is people who create music, who create literature, who create visual arts.
What brought it to an end?
Times change. The Great Depression had an effect, but essentially a new generation appears who rebel against their elders. Richard Wright's kind of a transitional figure. He condemns the Harlem Renaissance, but was in many ways a creature of it and takes literature in a new direction. Certainly, the creativity did not end, and I think it's very important to understand that. But people who saw themselves as part of this movement simply moved on, passed away. Their careers took them into different places, and a new generation arrived, creating their own literary movement.
Just one more thing. Was this a black movement, a white-led movement, an integrated movement? What was it?
I think this is an African-American movement. It used the white infrastructure. But as Langston Hughes said, the writers tended to express themselves. If white people didn't like it, they didn't care. If black people didn't like it, the same thing. They were determined as artists to express themselves, and they did this.
Cary, thank you very much. A very fine job.
It's very my pleasure to be with you today.
Cary Wentz is a professor of history at Texas Southern University and editor of Harlem Speaks, a living history of the Harlem Renaissance. To see photos and hear an audio montage, log on to npr.org.